grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text for my message this morning is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, which reads, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, during these summer months here at St. Mark, we have been sermonizing on the Acts of the Apostles. We've been hearing story after story about the history of the early church. Each story is a new chapter that was developed and unfolded in the writing by the evangelist St. Luke. And it contained both the problems of the early church as well as the obstacles that they faced from day to day, including the solutions that God brought to the early church through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so as we have been sermonizing on this Acts of the Apostles, what we find was a bridge that took us from one side of history through the Gospels into the life of St. Paul and all of his missionary travels as he moved from one church to the other, linking one narrative to the next on how God put out his grace on each one of the congregations that he visited and wrote to. And so the book of Acts is really a story about Christianity's historical foundation based on the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, St. Mark Lutheran Church has a foundation that is also based on the same. Your chapters here as a congregation have been filled with glorious, grace-filled narratives of people who have blessed and praised God over the years and have also blessed one another as members of this congregation, despite some of the obstacles that this congregation has worked through, some of the sins of the people who have been brought here and forgiven in this sanctuary of the Lord, but people who have also learned mightily that the solution to all of those human things in life is found in the cross of Jesus Christ. Today, St. Mark Lutheran Church begins a new chapter in its history. Your history is filled with glorious and grace-filled events and blessings that have come from God throughout its many years of existence. And as it was with St. Paul, the apostle, who moved from one church to the other, St. Mark, who has had a pastor here now for the last 3.5 years, but has now moved on, according to the call of God in his heart, to another locale to bring the missionary gospel of Jesus Christ to another congregation. It is now what we call a pastoral vacancy in this congregation, one in which all of us hope will be very short in duration. But this morning's lessons from God's Word for this ninth Sunday after Pentecost seem to especially fit this time in the history of your congregation because it talks about faith, that is the assurance of things that we hope for and the conviction of things that we have not yet seen. That verse contains that one significant, powerful word called conviction. And I hope that word will form the primary element in your faith life as you begin from this day to the next day in all of the narratives that are yet to follow within this congregation. And for a few minutes, I'd like to take that chapter from the book of Hebrews, which is really basically a hall of fame of all of God's people who have walked by faith and yet at times could not see where God was still leading them. Let me begin with a telephone call that I made yesterday morning to my brother who was celebrating his birthday. And I said to my brother, "You know, Richard, both of us have birthdays that fall on saints' days on the liturgical calendar, mine on June 29th, which is St. Peter and St. Paul Day, and yours yesterday, August 10th, is known as St. Lawrence Day on the liturgical calendar." And my brother said to me, who in the world is St. Lawrence? And I suspect that you might be thinking the same this morning, since Lawrence of Rome is not necessarily and particularly a household name for most of us as Christians. So let me tell you a little bit about Lawrence in my beginning here. Lawrence was a 3rd century church deacon who was charged with taking care of the poor and the sick and the widowed and the shut-in of his particular area when the emperor Valerian was in power. Valerian, who had ordered the bitter persecution of many Christians, people who had called themselves Christians, and the emperor just would not tolerate that. And so the emperor sent out a word that all families had to bring to him all of the precious things in their household, like all of the precious cups and the gold that they had, for example, or the silver candlesticks they lit their rooms by, and other such things. But then Lawrence came to the emperor one day, and he said, "Emperor, these are my treasures. We sold all of our earthly possessions so that we might take care of the least of the brothers and sisters who live in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the true treasure in the church. These are my treasures, not the gold and not the silver, not the candlesticks, but these people who are the least of all in the world." And from that moment on, the emperor ordered Lawrence's execution on the spot for making a mockery of his edict. On that particular day, Lawrence was taken to a stake with wood underneath and lit fire, and he died burning to a cross in 258 A.D. I tell you that story because Lawrence's life is a story of conviction. Conviction, that is, a strong belief that we have in something very powerful in our life, is what Jesus was driving at in this morning's gospel when he talked to his disciples and he said to them, "My brothers, do not be afraid. Sell what you have and give to the poor, give to those who are ill, give to those who are shut in, and give to those who are widowed in the church," the basic call foundation of every pastor in a congregation today. And then Jesus went on to say to his disciples, "If you guard your purse on earth, your spiritual treasures prior to heaven will become depleted. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be." Now, what Jesus is really implying here is that faith is more than an emotion or a feeling that we have from time to time. If we are led by our emotions and our feelings when it comes to spiritual matters, I can tell you as a pastor of many years, moving around hospitals and with people in hospitals and in very difficult settings in their life, and for example, being in emergency rooms with members of the congregation at 3 o'clock in the morning, I can tell you that if you walk into an emergency room with a loved one who is very ill or his life is hanging in the balance or in some other way is finding a mountainous obstacle facing them, if you live by emotion, then fear will be the directive in your life and not faith. You see, conviction is that which always holds on to the solid rock that Scripture says God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. But there's more to that word conviction. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say that faith rests on things that are unseen. There's a whole Hall of Fame list of people that are in the book, 11th chapter of Hebrews, who had great faith, and God called them to do something, and they had not one idea about where they were going to go and what was going to happen in the future. When Noah got on the ark that he built, he had no idea what 40 days of rain would bring to the earth When Abraham was called by God to go into the promised land, Abraham didn't know where God truly was leading him at the time that he spoke to him. And his wife Sarah, who in her 90s was told that she was pregnant and was wondering what in the world is going on in my life, had no idea what God was leading her to give birth to strengthen and to lengthen the people's humanity on earth. Or we think of Moses. By faith he left Egypt. The people of Israel, the children of Israel, running away from the Egyptians, were there by the Red Sea, and they crossed over into the Red Sea. They had no idea what was going to happen to them when they were called by God to do that. And then we're told in the Hebrews this morning that Gideon and Samson and the prophets faced battle after battle in their life. But you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, face those same kinds of battles in life today, don't you? However, what really guides you, what really becomes your direction in life during times like that are what the church calls the mysteries of your faith. In a few moments, you're going to be coming up this aisle and you're going to be gathering around this communion altar area. And the mystery of faith will be present here as you gather around this altar, though you will not yet see the real presence of Jesus Christ in a wafer and in a sip of wine, because the real presence of Jesus Christ will come when you close your eyes in death, and there you will be in the real presence of Christ Himself. That will be your true gathering. That will be your true connection to Jesus and who He is for your life today. In the next service, we're going to have a baptism. And you've seen many a baptism in church, another one of those mysteries of our faith. When you participate in the life of the church through a child's or an adult's baptism here before the altar of God, and then you will see from that baptism how that infant begins to grow in years and stature and wisdom and knowledge of Jesus Christ through the leading of that child's parent. And you will watch that child take his baptismal membership and put it to work in the church as well as in society. Yes, faith is the assurance of things that we always hope for, the conviction of things that are not yet seen. Now, you and I know, as Christians today, that our faith is truly being tested in a very strong way. For example, if we look at scriptures and we try to measure our faith, how do you look at the manger of Bethlehem when you cannot see the baby in a crib, but you do it by faith every Christmas? Or on Easter when you come to church with all of the lilies and all of the great music and all of the packed house of God's people that come, and you see Jesus in your heart and your mind rising from the dead so that you and I might have life and have it in abundance. By faith, we look at the scriptures and we hear the story of Jesus growing up in the house of his mother and his father and Joseph and Mary, and Jesus was growing in wisdom and knowledge and the fear of his Father in heaven and taking on the values of his mom and his dad. It is any wonder that Jesus said to Thomas and the disciples after his resurrection, "Blessed are they who have not seen and yet still believe." As I say, our faith is certainly being tested today. Violence is pandemic, and it's constantly eroding civility today. The rhetoric of our day remains unsutured and is becoming more and more divisive. And God is calling upon the church to bring an end to that madness by being a child of God who can stop that kind of rhetoric that is breaking down the emotions of people everywhere in this country. And there are the cyber wars between our teens today, from schoolroom to schoolroom, from their home to their home, and the bullying that goes on, and young adults who are cyber warring with one another in terms of leverage in society, becoming more and more alarming in scope every single day. Now, all of these things that I've just mentioned are the things that we see in our life today. But faith helps us accept the unseen things. We always want to see things, don't we? But when we can't see things, how do we live? Do we live by fear, or do we live by faith, and do we live by conviction? My friends, without conviction, there is no way to stay close to God. Then there becomes more and more a lack of spiritual discipline in the home. And our Christian mores seem to go less and less active within the home and in society, quickly sliding into what we call today nihilism or non-existence. And it moves the church to even more marginalization than it is already becoming today. Here, my friends, is where your catechetical formation classes, which are soon to begin in this congregation, can be so helpful in the church family. They help form a lifetime mentality of religious conviction in our children that are growing up in the families and coming to church today, a conviction in a belief system that can minimize Satan's trickery today and help our children to make decisions that can help curb the sins and the problems and the obstacles of our society. Well, let me give you a closing word at this point. Faith is the assurance of things that we hope for and the conviction of things that are not yet seen. May I encourage all of you as members of this congregation beginning new chapters in your life today to take hold of the mysteries of God, gathering around the sacrament and gathering around God's Word, remembering whose you are and where you are and where you're going as you take faith as an important part of your life and tie it to conviction. Because you see, conviction is one of those primary elements in our faith life. And it will help you to get through your pastoral vacancy, and it will help you to keep your mission and your ministry alive and seen throughout this congregation and throughout the community in which you live. Whether you are a member here in this congregation or not, may I say and give you this kind of encouragement to say this about yourself and in front of those people who are in your family and around your family and in the places in which you move and live and have your vocation in life. These words, that faith is the foundation upon which I stand as a Christian, and hope is my ability to reach out for that which is yet to be seen. May God grant that to you for Jesus' sake. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.